feedback. Yeah, thanks. You've created good works for us to do, and so we want to live in you and live through you and be empowered by your Holy Spirit to do those very acts which would give you pleasure. So lead us, we pray, in that way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So as I look through the readings today, and the thread to me is good works. The good works of Jesus, the good works of Tabitha or Dorcas, the good works of the angels and the saints in assembly in this revelation of Jesus Christ according to John. And good works always gets us into some, tricky ground, because we know that we're not saved by good works, and we can get all wrapped up in not doing enough. I don't know if anyone else sometimes has a problem with that. Am I doing enough? Am I really doing enough? Whatever the situation or whatever the context. And that can plague Christians, wondering if they're doing enough to be a good Christian, to put it awkwardly. But if we think of good works as something that God is doing in us and through us, through the Spirit of Jesus, it makes a difference. It does for me anyway. Paul says in the letter to the Philippians, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." If he gives us the desire to do it and the power to do it, who are we to say, "Yeah, I got that one. I was smoking on that one. Wasn't that a good thing I did?" Of course not. That's totally inappropriate. And we rob God of God's glory, because if in fact he wills in us and empowers us to do good works, then we just say, "Praise God, I'm glad it was of help. I'm glad it made a difference." Would you agree? I hope I'm on the same ground with you. This idea of God working in us, God providing us opportunity to do the very good works that God has created us to do. And so we simply live into that. We simply fulfill the role, the person, the instrument that we are for good works. The collect is a rich one today, and not to say they aren't generally, but this one I found particularly so. This collect that sort of collects us all and collects our thoughts. We get off our phones usually when we say the collect. We can't do both. I mean, we got to focus in here. We pray, "O God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ." It's like, okay, that's a good work, is it not? It's like the good work. The resurrection. It's God's good work. Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant. It's like, wow, this stacking these theological sort of big things all at once. This blood of the eternal covenant, it's through the shed blood of the Lamb. Again, this analogy to the Passover and God's mighty act which delivered Egypt out of a tyrannical slavery. How many of us live under tyrannical slaveries today? Addictions, obsessions, anxiety. Could God, through this eternal covenant, by the blood of the Lamb, find some relief, find some freedom within the community of faith, together? And we're freed up to be made perfect in every good work. And for some of us, that is like a word of death. It's not a word of life, because we've tried to be perfect all of our lives, to gain acceptance, to earn someone's love. It's all warped and broken. That's not what this is about. And so it can be just a tricky one to talk about good works. But I hope that the foundation is Christ, and it's not us. It's not to earn God's love. To be made perfect in every good work means to be made complete. It's like having a full orchestra. It's like having a full choir with all the voices represented. There's a fullness and a beauty to it. That's what it means. It's not perfect in the sense of nothing's wrong, but perfect in the sense of fullness. In every good work to do your will. And so that idea of God preparing for us in advance good works to do. And when we say no, and sometimes we know when we say no, We've said no to something that we felt compelled to do. We in some way deny God, and we diminish his glory by that act of really disobedience. Because if that's really who we are in Christ and we say no to that, then, well, we're not being true to Jesus. And work in us that which is well-pleasing in your sight. So it's making us perfect in every good work. We're not even off the collect yet here. And work in us that which is well-pleasing in your sight. And that's where this completeness goes. It's like when the levels are just right. When you're adjusting something and you go, you know what, that's it. Tomorrow might be a little different, but today, that's it. It's perfect. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the liturgy, our Eucharistic liturgy, focuses on Jesus and his sacrifice, his self-sacrifice, this meal that he's left. And it's in Christ, it's with Christ, and it's through Christ. And so I just want to underline the fact that these good works are not our little notches of acceptability or goodness. It's simply living out this life that God has called us to, empowered by the Holy Spirit. In baptism, we have died to self. We have died to all the good works that Paul wants to do. And we've said yes to the good works that God wants done to bring glory to his name and healing to his world in Jesus' name. I love the first reading. I love the variety of gifts expressed here that build the church and give glory to God. We hear of a certain believer. Read everyday believer. It was in a town where she lived in Joppa. Her name is Tabitha, and some called her Dorcas. That was maybe her nickname. Or maybe Dorcas was her name. They called her Tabitha. That probably makes more sense. Hey, Dorcas, how you doing? I wonder. Doesn't say. Doesn't tell us. The next one is really the heart of the passage. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. So she was devoted to doing good things for others, and she was also devoted to giving alms for the poor. She was known for that. Some say devoted. The verb is really she was full of good works. She was so full of good works that they just spilled out of her. Do you know people like that? It's not a big deal. That's just who they are. And that's who I believe Christ calls us to be. She became ill and died. It was bad news in Joppa. So they prepared her body in love, and friends, family, we're not sure, but put her in a room upstairs. So they heard that Peter was nearby. What were they expecting? She had died. She was prepared for burial. And they thought, there's a follower of Jesus in the next town. Let's call him. And I don't know if they told him any more than is recounted here by Luke in the text of Acts, but two men went, and all that's recorded was, please come to us without delay. We don't know what Peter was doing, but obviously he said yes, because he got up and went with them. Along the way, perhaps he heard about Tabitha, but when he got there, he was face to face with death. And that's underlined when it says that he turned to the body and said. You can only imagine this situation. Can you imagine being in Peter's shoes? They open the door, and there she is. She's dead. And I can only imagine Peter saying, you know what, I've never been in this situation before. I've never done this before. But I remember Jesus, and that's such a good place to go. But I remember Jesus and what Jesus did. So he put them all outside. He knelt down and he prayed. Wouldn't you love to hear that prayer? Help! Lord, what am I going to do? What should I do? And we can only imagine that he did what he was told to do. He turned to the body as Jesus turned to other bodies and said, Tabitha, get up. He spoke with authority, the authority that was in Christ, even over death. And we long together, all of us, at some level, we long for that day when death will be conquered finally. And there'll be no more tears, no more pain, and no more suffering. And this is a sort of a foretaste of that. That's what I see. We know that Tabitha or Dorcas had, in her good works, they had paraded her, the things she had made for people. Do you know anyone like that in this parish? Someone who makes stuff or repairs stuff for others? Practical helps. There was a man who came to the church. He was sleeping under the back porch, and all he owned was in a backpack. I got to know Dave, and I noticed that his pack was fraying in one area along one seam. It was this huge backpack, and it was compromising one of the straps on his backpack. I said, "Hey, Dave, would you like to get that fixed?" He goes, "Yeah, but I can't afford it." I said, "Well, there's a woman in the parish who does that stuff." He goes, like on a pack?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Let me call her." So I called her. I said, "Hey, I got a friend here who needs a little fix-up on his backpack. Would that be possible?" And she said, "We'll bring it right over." So Dave took all the contents out of his pack, and we stashed it somewhere safely, and we went over. And she said, "Why don't you come back in a couple hours, and I'll have it finished for you." So we went out for coffee and came back, and Dave couldn't believe it. He had this pro job done on his backpack. She had even reinforced the area that was wearing a little thin. And that was such a joy for me, simply to stand back and watch the effect it had on Dave. It was beautiful. That kind of stuff. Practical helps. And then Peter shows another gift. Wouldn't you say that's a gift? He had the gift of faith to do just that, to say to a dead body, "Tabitha, get up." So she opened her eyes, looked at Peter, and he helped her up. Again, this is a foretaste of the resurrection, this reality we live in that Christ has, I don't want to say made, but has transformed in this resurrection life, this new life, this eternal life that God has communicated to us and still communicates to us. I think the outflow of this is so important that word spread, people put their trust in Jesus. I think that's really the import of this. And then he stayed in Joppa for some time and discipled the new believers. It doesn't say that, but I believe that to be true. And so the church was built up. What are the good works that God has created in Christ for you to do? Maybe you're doing them. Maybe you're really clear on that. Maybe you're not so clear. Maybe you don't think you have any particular gifts to share with people. Well, I think that then is a denial of Christ. You're denying Christ in that statement, because we all, those who are counted as part of the flock, are called to be partakers in this new life, this eternal life, which has signs of good works. God has created good works for us to do. The Jews in the gospel reading did not believe Jesus. They wanted revelation on demand. And he said, "I've already given you that, but you don't believe." They were sort of had set their minds against Jesus. "Believe the works that I do." And so that's how important works are. We've heard Jesus say that other times as well. "If you don't believe in me, believe in the works that I do," because they are kingdom works. "I do them in my Father's name, and they testify to me." And so we do these good works in Jesus' name because we are in Christ, and they give glory to the Father. And so in this Easter season, my hope is that you would first of all believe that God is at work in you. And if you don't know Jesus, well then, why not say yes to Jesus? To have God at work in you is a good thing. I found that to be true. I'm less hard on myself. I'm generally happier, and I've lost weight. Last one sounded weird, maybe. But you know, it's about total health, is it not? Mental, spiritual, physical. It's all together. I'm a healthier person, I believe, because of Jesus and following him. This is the promise for us all. The shepherd will guide us to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. May we consider the good works that God has for us to do, that he's at work in us, empowering us, and enabling us to will to walk in that way. Just let's pray just for a moment. God, as we say at the end of this service, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. God, I pray that we would take that to heart literally and to walk from here just anticipating the good works that you have for us to do in advance, and that we'd be faithful, aware, and bold. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.